Now we'll continue with the pastime of Rupa Goswami's meeting with the Lord, which we've entitled in this class, The Path of Sri Rupa, or The Path of Srila Rupa Goswami. Om Agyanatami Landasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sarpandantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. In yesterday's class, we spoke about two major elements in the path of devotional service: the path to Giriraj Govardhan, the path to Braja, the path taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those two elements that we spoke of, and see if you remember when I say them, if you remember something about what we spoke about. One, and the first element that was introduced in this, the entirety of Antya Lila, was that wonderful incident about becoming a dog of a Vaishnava. And what is the specific characteristic of a dog? Most of his characteristics are disqualification. What a terrible mentality a dog has. So envious. But yet, even if a dog with such poor qualifications somehow attracts the attention and becomes accepted by an exalted Vaishnava, then that dog, despite his lack of qualification, can go home by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And indeed, quite interestingly, even though that dog circumstantially did not get fed by his protector, who was Sivananda Sen, because Sivananda Sen had other duties to do other than feeding the dog. It just happened that day he had to pay the toll and he couldn't come. Yet, that dog was not neglected. He did eat. He got his food. And that food was directly from whom? It was from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So if circumstantially something happens on that level, we are not alone. And this is the glory of surrender, difficult as it is, and we describe it in a very difficult way, and on one level it is extremely difficult. But Srila Jiva Goswami describes that gotrapte varanam tata, or surrender, sharanagati, is so glorious. Because we surrender and we place ourselves under the protection of the Lord, and this gives one the feeling naturally. If one places oneself under the protection of Krishna, this gives one the feeling of belonging to Krishna. One actually gets the feeling that I belong to Krishna, that He is mine. He is mine. Relationship is established. He is mine and I am His. Or first we start with I am His and He is mine. He is my master and I am His servant. So this is the first thing, the first step one has to have, or develop, this very deep surrendered connection with a Vaishnava. And this establishes us in relationship with Krishna, with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the disciplic succession, and ultimately C.C. Radha and Krishna. So that was the first principle that was spoken of in the second section of this chapter. The first section was auspiciousness, creating an atmosphere of auspiciousness. And then later on, we heard or saw, practically speaking, Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. We heard of their participating in the Gundicha Marjanam. And then, when it was time for prasadam, Haridas Thakur said, "I am chara. I cannot, asanga. With these devotees, I am not qualified to sit." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we heard from Madhyalila, was calling him, "Haridas, Haridas." The master was calling the servant for his food to feed him, Jagannath Mahaprasanam. And Haridas said, "No, I will not come." And Rupa, Sri Rupa, said, "No." And the devotees were taking prasadam, and there was no envy in the heart of either Haridas or Rupa Goswami. They were so happy to see the devotees taking prasadam and chanting Hari, Hari, Hari occasionally as they took prasadam. So we got a glimpse of the qualification of humility. How it's possible for exalted souls to feel so humble and insignificant. We heard how dainya, or true spiritual humility, is most deeply exhibited in the Braja Gopikas, because they have nothing but Krishna. They exist fully to serve Krishna. That's their consciousness. They have no sense of independence. Their existence and their consciousness is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. This is natural. This is love. This is love. But it is not only the Braja Gopikas who have this mood. Their mood exhibits it most fully, to the highest, ultimate degree. But everyone in Braja has this mood. Mother Yashoda is willing to die 1,000 deaths to save Krishna the slightest inconvenience, a drop of perspiration accumulating on his head. This is not the kind of selflessness that the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, and the Buddhists talk about, the annihilation of the self. But it is a feeling of full absorption in the pleasure of one's beloved. That is bhakti to the highest degree. And rather than it causing a disappearance of the sense of self, rather it causes the highest ecstasy. And that ecstasy is not why the devotees perform their service. Rather, it is a product of their service, of their devotion. And when it's a choice between ecstasy and service, they take the service. They see ecstasy, if it gets in the way of their devotional service, the pleasing of Krishna, as a hindrance, and they push it away. It is so high, it is so pure, it is so refined. It is not of this world. You cannot take the love of this world and find any multiplier, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, and gain what this is spiritual, it is pure. And this is Jivera Sarupoi Krishner Nityadas. This is who we are. There is always in this world a not, we have so many upadis or false identities. it's so hard to find who am I really? Who am I really? We have identities as we go through our lives, so many different identities, so many different relationships with different people that we think of as our identities, but these are not us. Who am I really? Forever, eternally, I am Krishna's, and Krishna is mine. In Braja, the sense of Krishna is mine, is mamata, is even dominant, more dominant than I am Krishna's. But it cannot be imitated. It cannot be imitated. But humility that Rupa and Haridas exhibited is the second principle. And before we can actually give ourselves to Krishna, we have to become humble. We have to understand that actually it is a fact that we're insignificant. We are not great. We're insignificant. And an insignificant soul can only do insignificant service. Become an insignificant servant of the servant. These are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopi Bharata Parakamalaya Dasa 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 Dasa. So these are the first two lessons. And what keeps us, and this will expand on both of them, they're so connected, and we'll go further about this, not we'll go further, but as we read, this is the path of Sri Rupa that's being described. So there'll be more. So Haridas and Rupa were given Govinda Dware. Do you remember that phrase that stuck in my mind? That Mahaprabhu gave it to them through the instrument or through the gate of Govinda. He fed them. He made sure that they would get fed. We will get fed. We will get our needs met. This is the faith that's required. I heard recently Srila Prabhupada say in a lecture that the goal of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the goal of reading Bhagavad Gita, is to gain the deep conviction that Krishna is all-powerful and Krishna is all-merciful. And Prabhupada said, and then when we actually trust that Krishna is all-powerful and all-merciful, then we can surrender to him. Because if we surrender to someone who's all-powerful but not all-merciful, that's the most frightening thing. He can just take us and... But an all-merciful one won't do that. Or on the other hand, we surrender to someone who's very, very kindly disposed to us, so merciful, but not all-powerful, and they may have all good intentions to help us, but they don't have the power to help us. So Krishna is all-powerful and all-merciful, and therefore, when we surrender to him, when we place ourselves in his service and under his protection, and that is basically what Saranagati means, the return to our true natural position under the protection and in the service of Krishna. Then really bhakti begins. And this takes, as we were saying, humility. So Haridas and Sri Rupa took prasadam. On the next day, this is on text 65 in this first chapter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Srila Rupa Goswami, the omniscient Lord spoke to him as follows. Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, for he does not go anywhere else at any time. Because Rupa Goswami had planned to write that drama of one part, and then in the village of Satyabhaumapur near Katak, he had the vision or dream of Satyabhauma coming to him and say, write a separate drama about me. It will be extraordinarily beautiful. So he understood this was an order from Satyabhauma herself to divide the drama in two. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to say the same thing. And then there is a quotation from that's included by Kaviraj Goswami from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita written by Rupa Goswami that says the same thing. Vrindavanam Prityaja Sakochin Naiva Gacchati. That Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. The full quotation in English is, the Krishna who is known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Dwarka and Mathura, but Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time, as Prabhupada would say it, padam ekam nagacchati, not one step out of Vrindavan, but Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform his noontime duties, leaving Srila Rupa Goswami somewhat surprised, because Mahaprabhu was interacting, as he does with Sanatan in chapter 4, with his thoughts, with his desires, with what he's thinking. So Rupa Goswami was surprised. How did Mahaprabhu know this? Satyabhama ordered me to write two different dramas, Srila Rupa Goswami thought. Now I understand that this order has been confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly I wrote the two dramas as one composition. Now I shall divide it and describe the incidents into two separate works. I shall write two separate invocations, two different pravastan, nandi slokas, and mangal acharanas, and two different introductions. Let me think deeply about the matter and then describe two different sets of incidents. So these two wonderful books or dramas written by Srila Rupa Goswami became known as the Dagda Madhava about Krishna and Vrindavan, which Jagatwini Mataji read last year, and Lalita Madhava, which she read the year before in the evenings. Now, there is a change of topic on this path. Now we're moving, because we heard about the cleansing of the temple, a little bit about that before the Rath Yatra. And then during the Rath Yatra ceremony, Rupa Goswami saw Lord Jagannath. Raise your hand if you've seen Lord Jagannath. Raise your hand if you've not seen Lord Jagannath. Why? Get, explain it.
There's so many Lord Jagannaths.
There's so many Lord Jagannaths. What do you mean? You've never seen Lord Jagannath anywhere. By Prabhupada's mercy, all over the world, and in every shop in Jagannath Puri, there's hundreds of Jagannaths too, Lord Jagannaths. And there is in front of, if you are not allowed access due to your birth into the Jagannath temple in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, there is Petit Pavan Jagannath outside who is so merciful. He's so merciful. So he saw, Rupa Goswami saw Lord Jagannath, but he wouldn't see him during the year because he didn't go into the temple. He also saw Lord Chaitanya dancing and chanting in front of the rat. So this is described in the 13th chapter of Madhya Lila, not Rupa Goswami specifically this year, but what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do at Rath Yatra. And it is one of the most intense, heaviest, sweetest, deepest chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And practically speaking, there is an explanation that we're going to enter a little bit into it very soon, but there is an explanation of Mahaprabhu's heart there. And when we look in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart, as he's dealing with Lord Jagannath, Nandanandana Krishna, he's seeing him as Krishna, we're seeing, if we look very closely and very carefully, we will see the heart of Srimati Radharani, because that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing. He descended. The internal reason for his descent was to specifically experience the heart, the mood, the consciousness of Srimati Radharani. Krishna, Radha Krishna Nahai Anya. He wanted, Krishna was attracted to the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani, and he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Rupa Goswami heard a verse composed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the ceremony, during Rath Yatra, and this is explained in great detail in the 13th chapter of Madhya Lila, where Mahaprabhu dances. He dances at Rath Yatra. So when Rupa Goswami heard the verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, which no one other than Srup Damodar can understand the depths of the meaning of this verse, why is Mahaprabhu saying this? Rupa Goswami immediately composed another verse dealing with the same subject. I have already, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I have already described all these incidents, but still I wish to add briefly something more. So he's described this, Kaviraj Goswami has described this in Madhya Lila, in those first two chapters where he gives an overview of the of everything, of Antya Lila. And I will read a little bit about that that is not included here. But generally, so here's the an explanation of what Rupa Goswami wrote about what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Because this is going to give us on the path our goal. We've heard about something about the process that we have to surrender to a devotee, to a Vaishnava. We have to be humble. But these elements or any element of a process or direction, how to do something, has no meaning until the goal is given. And not only given, but one has to want the goal. One has to desire it. If I'm talking about, first I'll take, everyone should walk, and then when you walk a distance, then you get on the tempo, and then you travel for some time, and then you'll get to the bus station, and then get on the bus, this number bus, and then you'll get to Delhi. If you have no desire to get to Delhi, all those instructions are meaningless, practically speaking. But if one somehow or another has a burning desire to get to Delhi, what to speak of if that was an instruction how to get to see Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyama Sundar and Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, to go to Vrindavan? Then it is very, very relevant. So we've heard two instructions: humility and surrender. Or surrender and humility, or surrender and humility are so connected. But why do we do this? Now we're going to hear something. We're going to get a glimpse that will be expanded towards the end of this chapter in a wonderful way about the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is revealed during the Rath Yatra ceremony celebration. And if we can get a drop, not even a drop, just a sprinkle from one drop of this within our heart, within our consciousness, it will burn everything material that is an impediment, that is an obstacle. It will burn it to ashes. So generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited a verse while dancing and chanting before the rat. But no one knew why he was reciting that particular verse. Only Srup Damodar Goswami knew the purpose for which the Lord recited that verse. According to the Lord's attitude, he used to quote on other verses. Excuse me, Srup Damodar used to quote other verses to enable the Lord to relish the mellow. Just like if you're in a happy mood and someone says something happy that supports your mood, your happiness increases more. And if you're in a really happy mood and then someone says something really nasty or tells you all the problems that they've had all that day, then your mood just, it crashes to the ground. So, Swarup Damodar Goswami, seeing himself as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was always there to support his mood and make it go higher. Because he saw himself, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Swarup Damodar was very intimate servant of Srimati Radharani. So he would support it, the mood of ecstasy of Radharani in dealing with Krishna, and make Mahaprabhu's ecstasy go into a tidal wave. It was a wave always, and by the association of Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, who would support with their sensitive knowledge, and not sensitive knowledge exactly, but they were always resonating. Their consciousness was always resonating, was sympathetically, in a technical sense, like the vibration, we mentioned this before, they were so attuned, the vibration. When Mahaprabhu would pluck, could you pluck one? Just one. Oops, there's no... Maybe the amplification, that's going to be the next thing anyway. The amplification has to go over there. But the other string would also vibrate. So when Mahaprabhu would vibrate his ecstatic ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani and love for Krishna, Swarup Damodar Ramananda Roy, their consciousness vibrated completely in a sympathetic way to that. And that, just like there may be two notes played, and that they support each other and make the sound more beautiful. So similarly, the verses recited due to the sympathetic vibrations of the consciousness of Swarup Damodar would support and make more beautiful the ecstasies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he knew the heart. Not only he knew, because it's not only a matter of knowledge, but his consciousness was attuned to the consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And basically, the path that we're describing, beginning with surrender, then humility, the path that's going to Braja, By the methodology and the pathways that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us by his example, by his words, etc., by his mercy. This path is, the purpose of this is to attune our consciousness, and the purpose of us following this path, and this is why we are asked to follow it strictly, because it is meant to attune our consciousness to the consciousness of Guru, Prabhupada, disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna. Because we can't be in Braja, we can't be there physically. We have to be there by consciousness. And while our consciousness is gross on the physical, bodily, sensuous platform propelled by false ego, no matter what we do, we can't be there. We can imitate, we can try to get closer, but we can't actually be there until our consciousness is subtle and fine and pure and sympathetically tuned to what is going on in Braja. It is a question of lining up our consciousness to Braja. Only Srup Damodar knew the purpose for which the Lord recited that verse. According to the Lord's attitude, he used to quote other verses to enable the Lord to relish mellows. He was tuned to his consciousness. Rupa Goswami, however, could understand the intention of the Lord. And thus, he composed another verse that appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this begins the mystery of the path. That no one else was attuned, but somehow or another, Rupa Goswami understood. He understood his consciousness was perfectly lined up. So when Mahaprabhu recited the verse, Rupa Goswami wrote a verse that was in complete harmony, but revealed what was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Externally, well, what Mahaprabhu said was covered, hidden, and very secret, so no one else could understand it. So we'll now hear the first of the verses, the one that Mahaprabhu recited, Yakumara haras eva hi varas tate chaitra chapas.
Rena roha siveta sitar tale cheta samutkantate.
That very personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing at Rathyatra before Lord Jagannath, and he's seeing Krishna. And his mood is Radharani. And together, they are in Kurukshetra. But this is all hidden in this verse. Now, if you've read or studied the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto, which is so deep, where the Lord or the residents of Vrindavan after many years of being absent from Krishna, in Krishna's left Vrindavan, finally they go to Kurukshetra during the occasion of the solar eclipse, and they finally see Krishna. And there's some incredible descriptions, especially Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes how Devaki and Rohini Devi, they come in to the tent where Yasoda and Nanda are sitting in Kurukshetra, and they're bringing Krishna and Balaram with them. After years, Krishna and Balaram will now see Yasoda and Devaki, and Devaki and Nanda, excuse me, and Nanda Maharaj will see Krishna and Balaram. So when Krishna and Balaram see Nanda and Yasoda, and now they're, according to what Prabhupada says, Krishna was 125 years old at this time. And Nanda and Yasoda were sitting, and Krishna and Balaram run towards them, and they place themselves on their laps, and they're hugging them, and tears, everyone is crying and crying and crying. And stunned, Mother Yasoda, milk is pouring from her breast. crying and crying. No one can say a word. Father, we're not doing well with this. And suddenly, Devaki looks and sees that Krishna doesn't even know that she exists. So she says something to Mother Yasoda, and she says, "Oh, you have taken care of our son, Krishna, so carefully, even though with such love and affection, even though he is not really your son." She doesn't say it as grossly as that, but our acharyas have revealed the meaning of what she's saying, because Krishna forgets that she is even there, and it's very disturbing for her. Even though you are not his real mother, you have taken care of him with such love and affection. So she was making a point here. And how did Mother Yasoda react? How did Nanda Maharaj react? How did Krishna and Balaram react to these words? They did not react at all, because they did not hear even one of the words, because they were so stunned, captivated, controlled by the love of Yasoda and Nanda. They didn't hear anything. And finally, Rohini, seeing the awkwardness of the situation, said, "Why don't we go outside, because the wives of Krishna are there. It would be nice if you talked to them at this time." So then they went outside. So Kurukshetra was a very special meeting between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And then after some time, Krishna saw the brother Gopikas were there by one lake called Sannihit Sarov. So Krishna went and spoke to them. So this was the mood that was described by Chaitanya, that Mahaprabhu was in, the mood of Srimati Radharani meeting Krishna. But Krishna had no flute. He was a king. And there were chariots everywhere. There were armies everywhere. He had no flute. He had no peacock feather. And he wasn't dressed in a simple, brilliantly yellow dhoti with his uttariya and his gunjamala and his vanamala, forest flowers. Rather, he had this kind of jewel and that kind of jewel and armor. So what type of mood would be reflected in Srimati Radharani's heart? So deep, full love, but something wasn't there. Krishna was a king now. Full love. This was the meeting that she had been hoping for and praying for and wishing and staying alive for, practically speaking, for so many years. But something was wrong. And what was the thing that was wrong? Is that it was in Kurukshetra. It wasn't in Vrindavan. So meeting, everything is there. But that makes it worse. Like when Lord Balaram came to Vrindavan, in the 65th chapter of the 10th canto, he visits Vrindavan. So the residents of Vrindavan loved him as much as they loved Krishna. And they were ecstatic to see Balaram. But where was Krishna? So in the presence of Balaram, even though it was so wonderful, unbelievably wonderful, it still made the ecstasy of the separation from Krishna overflood its banks even more. Because how could you see Krishna, you see Balaram, but where is Krishna? Why isn't he here? So these moods of Krishna, come to Vrindavan, come to Vrindavan, come to Vrindavan, Krishna. This was what was flowing, overflowing in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That very personality He's speaking this verse in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That very personality who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. He is before my eyes. And these are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of the Malati flower is there. And the same sweet breeze is blowing from the Kadamba forest. In my intimate relationship, in our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. But yet, my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vitasi tree. That is my desire. Rupa Goswami's verse, Priyosiham.
Priyasoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Nilita Tataham Saradha Tamidham Bhaya Sangam Sukham Tathakyam Tathya Madhura Murali Pancha Madhushe Madhome Kanindi Shikina Vipinaya Srihayati
Mano me kalindi pulina vipanaya spriyate. My mind is desiring to be on the bank of the Yamuna with Krishna. My dear friend, so Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu's verse, indirect, no mention of Vrindavan, no mention of the Yamuna. No mention of Radha, no mention of Krishna. I am the same lover, but there is no Vatasi tree here, the bank of the Reva. It is hidden within his heart. His mood is there, but the meaning is hidden deep within his heart, because deep things we don't just say out loud to everyone. We don't reveal the deepest things in our hearts so freely. It cheapens it. But Rupa Goswami, by the power, as it comes out, of Mahaprabhu, was able to take what was in Mahaprabhu's heart and say to those who are following my path, this is what Mahaprabhu was talking about. And this is for you. My dear friend, this is Rupa Goswami's Priyosa Soyam Krishna Sachari Kura Chetra Militas. We are meeting at Kura Chetra. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna. Krishna Sahachari. On this field of Kurukshetra. And I am the same Radharani. And now we are meeting together. How frustrating. Everything is right. The same person. I am the same person. I love him in the same way. Everything is right. But because it is not Braja, nothing is right. How important is Vrindavan Dham? We are meeting together. I am the same Radharani. And now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant. But I would still like to go back to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami wrote this verse and he placed it on a palm leaf. He wrote it on a palm leaf, a patra, and he put it somewhere in the thatched root of his hut and he went to the sea to bathe. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to meet him. And when he saw the leaf pushed into the roof and saw the verse, he began to read it. And after reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic love, because it was a mirror to the depths of his own heart. At that very time, Rupa Goswami returned, having finished bathing in the sea. Prabhu Deki Dandavat Prangani Pandila. Rupa Goswami immediately fell flat in the courtyard to offer obeisances. And the Lord slapped him mildly in love and spoke as follows: "My heart is a confidential secret. How did you know my mind in this way?" And after saying this, he firmly embraced Rupa Goswami. They were already embraced heart to heart. Se sloka lana prabhu swarupa dekhi aila swarupera pariksha lagi tanhera puchila. There is that word pariksha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that verse and he showed it to Swarup Damodar, who was of completely one heart with Mahaprabhu. As we were saying, they had that complete sympathetic, not in the sense of sympathy, but when one string is vibrated and another string vibrates just by that string's vibration, that is called a sympathetic vibration. So Swarup Damodar was already completely sympathetically tuned, and if the tuning isn't exactly right when this string is plucked, that string will not vibrate. So Swarup Damodar's heart, as we were saying, was completely tuned to Mahaprabhu's heart. Right now, what is my heart tuned to? It's tuned to the elements of false ego, with me in the center. I want this, I want that, me, 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 lust, anger, greed, etc., envy, etc. It's all centered around me. I'm completely tuned. My consciousness is tuned to the material world. And when the string of my consciousness gets plucked, material things appear. Because that's what my consciousness is like, and that is the path of Rupa Goswami, to change our consciousness, to attune our consciousness at its very core through disciplic succession to the heart of through Rupa Goswami's heart, to the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Braja, to the heart of Sisi Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Shamasunda, Radha Madhav, and all those I forgot, Radha Kanayalal also. So the Lord questioned him, "You look at this, Swarup Damodar, you are tuned, but no one else was tuned to my heart. How could Rupa Goswami have understood my heart?" the Lord asked. And Swarup Damodar replied, "I can understand that you have already bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. You have tuned him because there is no other way. Your mercy has tuned him because there is no other way he could be in this line unless he has received your mercy. No one could have otherwise understood this meaning. I can therefore guess that previously you bestowed upon him your causeless mercy." Because the mercy is causeless of Mahaprabhu, and in one sense there's nothing we can do to get it. In other words, it is not within our power. I cannot buy it. I cannot do so much hearing and chanting and serving. There's nothing in one sense I can do to force the causeless mercy of the Lord, the Kripa Shakti of the Lord, to come to me and make my consciousness one with his, while retaining the individuality that is me, like the strings are one in vibration, but yet one string and a second string, or a third string, or a thousand strings, they'll all vibrate. If they are tuned sympathetically, so we can't do it. It is spiritual. It takes mercy, something descending. But that doesn't mean that there is nothing we can do to attract it. There's so much we can do to attract it, but it is still not in our control whether we have it, because we're just insignificant dogs of servants. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, agreed. Rupa Goswami met me at Prayag, and knowing him to be a suitable person, I naturally bestowed my mercy upon him. There it is. A suitable person naturally gets mercy bestowed upon him. Our job is not to take the mercy, to force it, to control it, because we can't. And all our forcing and controlling tendencies will come back upon us as great difficulties, because they are coming from the false ego. I want to do this. I want this to happen. As long as it's springing from the false ego, it will not have the result. But what will happen is Krishna will work through this to purify us. But I naturally bestowed my mercy upon him because he was suitable. The Lord wants to give us his mercy. He wants us to come home, as Prabhupada often said, more than we want to go home. But we can't be there as long as our consciousness, we don't do our part to sympathetically vibrate. We have to do our part and to become suitable persons. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed Sarup Damodar's conclusions. And then, Tabe Shakti Sanchari. This word will come up many times. Ami Kailun Upadesh. Thereupon, because he was suitable, Shakti Sanchari. I empowered him with my transcendental potency. Kailan Upadesh, and I gave him instructions. Because one needs potency, empowerment to even receive the instructions. Like if this happens to me all the time, I'm chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but I'm not there at all. I'm wandering all over the universe, thinking so many things, hoping so many things, with so many different emotions, good, bad, alternating one against the other, one pushing the other, all stemming from false ego and lack of relationship and lack of connection with Krishna, lack of being a suitable person. So even when Krishna empowers us, he gives us, take this Maha Mantra, take the Bhagavatam, take Chaitanya Charitamrita, take my mission. Unless we're suitable, unless our consciousness is moving in that direction, unless the desire is starting to blossom in our heart, our consciousness will go in a different direction from that. The materialistic mind, the materialistic ego will turn its back on mercy. Again and again and again, this happens. So, Mahaprabhu says, I bestowed upon him my transcendental potency. Now, Sarup Damodar, you should give him instruction. In particular, instruct him rasera vishesh, about rasa, about transcendental mellows. Because Mahaprabhu wants to do something through Rupa Goswami. He wants Rupa Goswami to write Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu. He wants him to write all his poetry. He wants him to compile Padyavali. He wants him to write Lalita Madhava Vidagdha Madhava and reveal to us what the spiritual world is like. And perhaps when we hear something of the spiritual world, of what love is, what true love is, where we should direct our consciousness, then we will start taking steps in that direction again. There is no impetus to follow the path, the process, unless the goal is desired. And also, as it will explain in more detail later, if there is an obstacle, doesn't even appear to be an obstacle unless you want to get to the goal. If you're just wandering, there's nothing that's an obstacle, because you just move in a different direction. But if you want to get there, and there's a mountain there, then it's a problem. And someone says, well, then just go there. Oh, there's the mountain, by the way. I forgot. Oh, Giriraj. If you want to get there, and a year and a half ago, there were so many thorns in this little nice forest here, and you wanted to go through them, you got covered. It was a real obstacle. So it had to be cleared. But if you didn't want to get closer to Giriraj, it wasn't an obstacle at all. There were just thorns there. Who cares? So the goal has to become stronger. And then the instructions, the desire, has to burn more and more brightly in the heart for what Mahaprabhu's gift is, and then the instructions become very, very valuable to us. And Maya will say, why don't you go here instead? Why don't you take this? Why don't you take this fame, prestige, laba puja pratishtari yata upasakagan? Take wealth. Take everything that Mahaprabhu says, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavita. You can have very fine intelligence. You'll be able to write and appreciate poetry. You become a fine musician. You can become anything you want. What do you want? What do you want? And this is a very interesting question that we should quite often ask ourselves. What is it that I actually want? What do I want, actually? And if you ask that question many times during the day and answer it honestly, you'll become very humble, probably. Right now, I want to annihilate the entire world. That also happens, especially if someone wakes me up when I've just been sleeping and I wanted to rest a little more, or... So, what is it that we want? When our consciousness and our desires become completely in line, attuned, sympathetic with the Supreme Personality of Godhead's servants and the servants of the servants, and when we can vibrate according to their desire to please Krishna, we will be suitable to get mercy. And that is our process, going from Bahyamukha, back turned to Krishna, to Samukha, turning to Krishna. That is bhakti. That is sadhana bhakti, that process. So, when Srup Damodar, he replied, he took that verse and showed it to Srup Damodar for him to examine, and the Lord questioned him. How could Rupa Goswami have understood my heart? And Srup replied, I can understand you have already bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. No one could otherwise understand this meaning. So there is a very important instruction for us in that, again, that we can't do it by ourselves. We're going to have to get empowered. We're going to have to get mercy, and we're going to have to become suitable persons as Rupa was a suitable person. That is our part. In the next class, we will hear something about the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu through the mouth of Rupa Goswami that will give us great, great hope, and through Kaviraj Goswami, despite our lack of suitableness, perhaps. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied again, "Yes, knowing him to be a suitable person, I naturally bestowed my mercy upon him. Now you instruct him further." Srupadamara said, "As soon as I saw this unique composition, I could immediately understand that you had bestowed upon him already your special mercy. By seeing a result, one can understand the cause of that result." And then he quotes a verse from Nyaya, or logic, that says that the river Ganga flowing from the heavenly planets is full of golden lotus flowers, and we, the residents of those planets, eat the stems of those flowers. Thus we are very beautiful, more so than the inhabitants of other planets. Raise your hand if you would like to become very beautiful, more beautiful than the inhabitants of any other planet. These desires, more beautiful, more wealthy, more famous, more strong, more scholarly, more musically inclined, more intelligent, more wise, more renounced. But yet, what the verse is really saying is we are beautiful because we are taking these lotus stems. Because this is the law of cause and effect. You eat something in the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness increases the beauty of the body. That's basically the verse. By the effect, if you see someone who has a particular result, then you can understand that there must be a specific cause. One can tell the result, Srupadamara said, that he, by his verse, that means he has already achieved the mercy of the Lord. End of this scene. The curtain goes down. This was after Rath Yatra. It is important. It is wonderful. This book is wonderful. Chaitanya Charitamrita is wonderful. It is wonderful. Everything is in here. But we have to try our best to go deeply and understand what is being said and why is it being said, and read carefully. And desire to understand the depths, even though we can't get to the depths, but we have to desire and try our best. Next scene. After the 4 months of Chaturmasya, Shravan Bhadra, Asvin, and Kartik, all the Vaishnavas of Bengal returned to their homes. So he had come right after the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and then they left. But Rupa Goswami remained in Jagannath Puri under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami had gotten the order to write 2 dramas. One day, while Rupa Goswami was writing his book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and then fell down to offer him their respectful obeisances. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them both, and then sat down. Remember, they felt themselves unfit to walk into the temple of Lord Jagannath, unsuitable, impure, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see them each day and embraced them. The Lord inquired, "What kind of book are you writing?" He held up a palm leaf that was the page of a manuscript. And when he saw the fine handwriting, his mind was very pleased. Notice he didn't say, when he saw the font that Rupa Goswami was using, he was very pleased. Because I've also noticed this with myself, that my handwriting changes with my mind and my mood. And sometimes I can actually write very, very nicely, But my mood and mind has to be very nice. And then it will come out very nicely. And usually, so he was appreciating the fine handwriting of Rupa. And also, of course, his fine, wonderful mind, consciousness. Thus being pleased, the Lord praised the writing by saying, the handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like a row of pearls. Prabhupada told the joke, when you get a letter in Hindi from someone, you reply, "Very, thank you very much for your letter. Next time you write me a letter in Hindi, please come yourself and deliver it so you can tell me what it says." While reading the manuscript, that was the handwriting, which indicated the mind, the consciousness, because the consciousness, whether we like it or not, the consciousness that we do things in is reflected in what we do. And Krishna can see that. He's not just interested in the externals of what we do, because they're going to be a product of the internals of what we are, who we are. While reading the manuscript, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a verse on that page. And as soon as he read it, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. So up to now, we've heard elements of the process and the need for empowerment, and we've heard just there was a glimpse, which we will explain perhaps a little later, of what the goal is, but the rest of the chapter towards the end will explain that goal even more. But what is this verse going to be that fills Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by when he saw it with ecstatic love? And that verse is, you know which the next one is? Without a hint.
No jane janita kiya niramite krishne divana dvai.
Please, again. Again. So nice.
Unne thanda vinira kini thanke thunna vanila bhaye. Kana krona karam vini ghathaya te kama bhudevya shriva.
I do not know how much nectar the syllables Krishna, Krishna, have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind. And therefore all the senses become inert. They stop functioning. Now, please, I'll read this again, and please continue. But see that Rupa Goswami has written a verse that has made Mahaprabhu ecstatic. Because Mahaprabhu came to spread the holy name in every town and village of the world. But notice also, when I read it again, that the holy name is clearly the way Rupa Goswami is experiencing it, and that the way Mahaprabhu and see how it is going too. Mahaprabhu has empowered Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami has said this verse, and that verse is reflecting again sympathetically back on Mahaprabhu and making him more ecstatic. But see how the experience and the description of Rupa Goswami and the experience of Mahaprabhu is not that the holy name is being vibrated by a material tongue. He is an entity. He is a person, a bina tvam namanamano. He is Krishna. He is Krishna, alive and well, and acting independently. This is what I'd like you to listen for when I read the verse again. That the holy name is a live, independent person, and he's acting independently of the one who is chanting it. The holy name of Krishna has a life of his own. He's Krishna. He's not being produced by the material tongue. Listen to how independently Sudanam, the pure name, when vibrated, is acting. And what the result of the actions of the pure name of Krishna in the form of the name, what the result is on the chanter, how he vibrates, how he sympathetically, because he's chanted Sudanam, and the name is there, fully descended. And then how does that affect the chanter? Please listen and hear it from this point of view. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert, finished, inactive. And he starts this by saying, I do not know how much the nectar, the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, this is the result. So if this is the result of chanting the holy name of Krishna, what have I been doing for the last 40 years? I've been chanting something else. Because I'm not chanting the holy name of Krishna when Krishna is acting independently and taking up residence in the courtyard of my heart and dancing, conquering my mind. Evam vratta sapriya nama kirtya. When the holy name of one's beloved is chanted, one becomes mad. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. One dances, rolls on the ground, laughs, cries, because the name starts acting as Krishna within us, because the sympathetic tuned vibration of a Krishna conscious heart has Sudanam being chanted has caused the name Krishna to fully manifest himself. And yet this is the end, but this is also the means. This verse, you can keep playing, it's quite nice, is not an independent verse in the sense that it has a seed in a verse spoken by Prithu Maharaj in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Prithu Maharaj says, my dear Lord, I do not wish to have the benediction of merging into your existence. A benediction in which there is no existence of the nectarian beverage of your lotus feet. Well, what do you want? I want the benediction of at least 1 million ears, for thus I may be able to hear about the glories of your lotus feet from the mouths of your pure devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses the mood of this, and he takes the mood as Rupa Goswami has expanded the mood of Preetam Raj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes the mood of Rupa Goswami and expands it hundreds of times more. Listen to what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does with this. Please, please give me millions of bodies and millions of mouths in each body. By your mercy, place millions of tongues in each mouth. O Lord, may your millions of transcendental qualities dance on those tongues. What is the use of a soul that does not have millions of bodies? What is the use of a body that does not have millions of mouths? What is the use of a mouth that does not have millions of tongues? And what is the use of a tongue that does not chant your millions of names? O Lord, may I perpetually have hundreds of bodies, and may each body have thousands of mouths, and may each mouth have millions of tongues, and may each tongue chant millions of your holy names. O Mridava, Madhava, wherever and whenever anyone chants your names and chants your pastimes, at any time, there may I be with millions of ears, and may I eternally drink your nectar. May I have millions of ears and millions upon millions of tongues. Then, O Lord, I will eternally and happily hear and chant your pastimes. May I have millions of ears, millions of eyes, millions of hearts, and millions of minds, and millions of tongues, hearing about, seeing, and embracing the ocean of your handsomeness. I will drink its sweetness. May I have millions of eyes, ears, noses, tongues, and chests, so that I may continually taste the nectar of your handsomeness, your sweet sounds, your sweet fragrance, and your embrace. May I have millions of feet to go to your side. May I have millions of hands to serve you. May I have millions of intelligences to teach that service. O Lord, please grant me these boons. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was not in Shantaras. The holy names of Krishna, this is the means on the path of Sri Rupa to the lotus feet and to the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into Braja. So therefore Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic to hear this glorification. It is the means. It will bring us directly to Vrindavan. It will give us a suitable form to be with Krishna, serving in Braja. Bhaktivinod Thakur, I won't read the whole song, it's often quoted, this Nama Mahatmya, where he begins, "What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. But the holy name, entering the core of my heart, through the holes of my ears, showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul." Oh, how much I, the soul, me, need some nectar in the desert of my material consciousness. And he describes the ecstatic results of the name, the holy name entering the heart. And then he says, "The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love. It manifests its full fragrance of the flower. And it is the very abode of astonishing mellows of rasa. Such is the power the holy name manifests, that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. The holy name will reveal everything about Krishna, his divine form and qualities. And then my heart will be abducted, stolen away, and taken directly to Krishna. Blossoming fully, he's describing it as a bud, and it's going to blossom. The flower of the holy name takes me to Braja. And that flower, or the holy name, reveals to me his own love dalliance. The name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, my Siddhadeya, who I actually am. And it keeps me, the holy name, keeps me right by Krishna's side. And it completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport on that Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name of Krishna, and he ends it with this verse, is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated. It has nothing to do with this world. It is the embodiment of pure rasa. And when all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Here's something that I recently came across that actually has, every once in a while, something affects me. And not only will I speak about it, it actually affects how I live my life and chant. And I heard this when I was listening to a lecture by Radha Govinda Maharaj on the Ajamil pastime, where the holy name, of course, is glorified, especially by the activities of Ajamil, but by by Yamaraj. So he mentioned this point, and then I looked it up in the commentary of Sridhar Maharaj, and then saw how wonderful it actually is, and then it reflects back into Prabhupada's translation of this verse in a wonderful way. In this verse, after the Yamadutas, and I mentioned this during our japa retreat, but I can't resist saying it again because it is so important, that the Yamadutas, being frustrated by the Vishnudutas not being able to take Ajamil, who was so sinful, they thought, they came to Yamaraj to complain. And they said, he's so sinful, he's done this and this and this and this. And Yamaraj said, no, the Vishnudutas are correct. He is completely sinless. And then Yamaraj, being one of our Mahajanas, he says this verse, that says, by the chanting of the holy name, if you've committed this sin or that sin or this sin or that sin or this one or that one, if you've stolen gold, if you've done this and horrible things, murders this, slaughtered cows, and sinful activities, simply by chanting of the holy name, there's no more needs of atonement. This is the basic idea. And then, at the end of this verse, there is the line, yatas tad vishayamati. That is the last line spoken by Yamaraj. And Srila Sridhar Swami comments, but I'll just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment because it includes the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami. He says, there's all the atonements mentioned. It removes the result of all the sin. He says, destruction of sin is not the only result of chanting. Because due to chanting, the Lord's mind dwells on that person. Tad visaya, tad yatas tad visaya mati, that the result of chanting, not the destruction of sins, but the Lord's mind becomes attracted and dwells on the person who's chanting. Our mind may be wandering, but his mind is not flickering like my mind is. I'm not thinking of the person whose name I'm chanting, but the person whose name I'm chanting thinks of me. Due to chanting, the Lord's mind dwells on the person who chants. And the Lord thinks, this person belongs to me. So there's the part that we do. And we indeed, we should do our part to the best of our ability. With great strength and determination and purpose. But that is not the only part of the equation.
Hare Krishna.
Because there is not only our endeavor, there is the Lord's boundless, causeless, unlimited mercy, what he does from his side. The Lord thinks, this person belongs to me. I will always protect him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is Sridhar Swami's meaning. And hearing his name being chanted and remembered, and remembering Ajamil, the Lord ordered the Vishnudutas to bring Ajamil, who is chanting his name. So this is wonderful. And when we're chanting, let us remember these words of Srila Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that although we may not be listening, the Lord whose name we're chanting is listening. And even if we are inattentive, he is attentive. But although this part of the Bhagavatam glorifies the holy name when it is chanted Abbas without offense, Namabas, but what it is really doing is glorifying the purely chanted holy name. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if the Lord's attention is riveted on someone who is chanting on the level of Ajamil, who wasn't even calling out to the Lord, he was calling out to his son, Narayana, his son, and still the Lord, this boundless ocean of mercy, his attention is fixed on him, and he's thinking, I will protect him, he has called out my name. And Ajamil was thinking of his son first. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, then how much more the Lord will remember a person who chants his name with a service attitude. This, Vishwanath says, is the implication. That is what is implied. So, that is wonderful, I think. It's wonderful, very encouraging for me. So, in the verse itself, Nama Vyaharanam Vishnur Yatas Tad Vishyamati, where it says, this is the where Yamaraj says, by chanting the holy name of Vishnu, the Lord's attention becomes fixed on the person who's chanting. But there's no mention of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said in his purport, I will protect him in this and that. But listen to Prabhupada's translation. He gives the list of all the atonements that just chanting the holy name removes the sinful reaction for, no need of any prayaschitta atonement. And then he says, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So Prabhupada, in his non-literal translation, has made a very merciful translation by following and pulling from the lotus-like heart of Srila Rupa Goswami and placing it right of Rupa Goswami, of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, of Srila Goswami, and placing it right in his book so we can get full benefit of these very encouraging, very wise, knowing and encouraging words. So Srila Prabhupada is very, very kind to us. A little more on the holy names. From these are all quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sandhava. From the Padma Purana, Lord Rama, Lord Shiva explains, O Goddess, whenever I hear a word that begins with the syllable Ra, my heart becomes filled with love, for I think, will the next syllable make the word Rama? From Bhagavatam, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, that's the Suyanama Priya, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. This is something from the Vishnu Domattara Purana. There was a Brahmana. The Brahmana said, this is the story of Chatrabandhu, who had committed a great sin, very great sins, and all kinds of sins. So he went to the Brahmin and said about atonement. And every time he said, you do this for atonement, the Brahmin said, I can't do it. So Chatrabandhu, the Brahmin said, if you are not able to do all this, then I will tell you something else, something very simple, something you can do very easily. Chatrabandhu said, I cannot do what you have said, for my mind is very restless. Please tell me something that my body and voice have the power to do. The Brahmin said, they who stumble with hunger and thirst, they who are awake, they who are dreaming, and they who are restlessly wandering in this world should always chant, Oh Govinda! Something to remove all problems. Oh, Govinda. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. This is from Skanda Purana. I will never leave any person who always recounts my glories, or delights in hearing my glories, or whose heart enjoys descriptions of my glories. I will never leave such a person. O Lord Nrisingadev, Prahlad says, the saintly devotees who cheerfully sing your holy names are the true friends of all living beings. Skanda Purana. Hari Kirtan is the best of all austerities. Especially in Kali Yuga, one should perform Hari Kirtan to please Lord Vishnu. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, and Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can also be attained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In Kali Yuga, the great devotees worship the Lord by performing kirtan. Jiva Goswami says, these words of Skanda Purana glorify the performance of kirtan, which brings great faith in the Supreme Lord. The Lord, who is very merciful to the fallen souls, does not reveal any spiritual path that is better than kirtan. If someone says that simply by moving the lips in kirtan, how is it possible that one can obtain the same result attained by meditation and other spiritual practices? If someone says that, Jiva Goswami says, that person should not be believed. Skanda Purana. The holy name of Krishna fulfills all desires. It is independent. Does not depend on the restrictions of time, place, situation, or purification. And the last verse that I'll read. For one who has Lord Krishna in his heart, Kali Yuga becomes Satyuga. For one who does not have Lord Krishna in his heart, Satyuga becomes Kali Yuga. This is our challenge. This is what we have to do. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, Haridas Thakur, upon hearing the vibration, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately picked it up and began chanting it. Haridas Thakur, hearing it, became jubilant because he's Namacharja Haridas Thakur, and he began dancing and praising its meaning. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, one has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouth of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas and Rupa Goswami and left for the seaside to perform his noontime duties. Now, so far, Rupa Goswami has read to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has heard two verses from Rupa Goswami. The first one was the Priyosyama about Krishna meeting Srimati Radharani, meeting Krishna and Kurukshetra. And the second one was this Tundavani verse, Tunde Tundavani, glorifying the holy name. And Mahaprabhu loved these verses. And the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to take these verses and do something very wonderful with them and very, very surprising. And tomorrow, Krishna willing, we shall hear what he does. And this is one of the most exciting parts of this chapter, the part we will hear tomorrow for me personally. I'm 2 minutes early. Amazing, yes, it's quite amazing. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Our Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Thakur Haridas ki jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai.